Thank you, men. I do want to say thank you to our missionaries that are serving the Lord today, and especially those sent out by Mequonago Baptist Church. Thank you, Michael, Tina Rain's family in Thika, Kenya. And thank you to Stephen and Christine Rains and their family serving in Thika, Kenya, and Rick and Sue Simonson, their family serving there in Thika, each involved in local church planting, involved in the Independent Baptist College of Ministry of Kenya. And thank you for your service. Thank you, Nathan Roberts' family, for your work serving the Lord in the land of South Africa today. And we appreciate you so much. And certainly that is the heartbeat of any church. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're thankful for those who are willing to leave house and home, family, to take the gospel to those who have never heard, and to establish churches that stand for the truth. And special thank you to the Simonsons as they celebrate 30 years on the mission field. What a blessing that is, isn't it? 30 years. And still going strong for the Lord. This morning, as we look at the Word of God, of course, probably there's a multitude of messages that you'd imagine went through my mind to preach this morning on this special occasion. But we're going to use as our start-off point and the central of our message Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And we'd like to look at that verse. I will read that. And we'll read it certainly in context. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that is at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel and the power of the gospel is the center and the core of every real church. The Apostle Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You know, that's an interesting statement. We know in 1 Corinthians 15 it says that the gospel is simple, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. And then at the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. That's what the Bible says is the gospel. And then you ask yourself the question, well, how can the gospel be the power of God? What does that mean? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. How can that truth, the good news that Christ died for our sins, and he rose again, died and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. How can that be the power of the gospel? Well, when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, when a person believes that message that Christ died for their sins, that Christ died for all their sins. The Bible tells us that the moment that a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, there's something mighty and wonderful happens. All their sins are put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And they're washed away. Wow. The power of the gospel. The power of the gospel, the moment that person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about head knowledge here. Boy, I went through all of that. Head knowledge. Catechism. Yeah, do you believe? Yeah. You say the right answer. Just head knowledge. Just the right answers. No. Belief. Real belief. Is to turn from your sin. Turn from depending upon yourself. Depending on your good works. And seeing yourself as a sinner. Lost. A wicked heart. Needing a Savior. Needing a new life. Calling upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And you experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who rose from the dead. Because the Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Right then! Born again into the family of God. Well, that's the power of God. In the gospel. It's real. The real forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know what justification means? Justification is a great truth in the Bible. That means that the moment a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus at that moment is put on their account and their sins are put away. And that perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is put on their account. And now they are in Christ. God the Father sees them as perfect in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that's a real experience. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because it's not a feeling, it's a reality. Now that enmity between man and God is gone. Because they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ who paid for all man's sin on the cross. The power of the gospel. It's real. It's real. There is real forgiveness. There is real justification. There is a real new life that takes place at that moment. The Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life. The moment a person received Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. It's the power of God. It changes lives. Now, I want to think about our text this morning that we read, Acts chapter 18. If you'll turn there, we have the startup of the church at Corinth. And I want us to see something about that church. And I want to see something about what is true about every real New Testament church. Want to see that the power of the gospel is the center and core of the church. Now notice, it says, very simple, in Acts chapter 18, verse 1, it says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Now that's a brilliant fact. But wait a minute. Who is this Paul? Who is this person who went to Corinth to start this church? You know who it was? It was the Apostle Paul. And you know who the Apostle Paul was? The Apostle Paul was Saul, that old wicked Saul that persecuted believers, drug them to prison, consented to their death, did everything he could to wipe out Christians and to jail them and to hinder their testimony. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that on the way to Damascus, on the way to going to that city to find Christians and to jail them and to take them back to Jerusalem to see putting them even to death, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died in Calvary's cross, the one who rose from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. And Paul, the Bible says, trembling, he fell down. He didn't know. He didn't know it was the Lord Jesus. He knew it was God. And he says, "Lord, who art thou?" And he says, "I am Jesus." Immediately, the Apostle Paul turned in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ as his Lord. And there, Apostle Paul, at that point, Saul, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because one word. That Jesus whom he persecuted, he said, "Lord." Lord. The one he did not believe in, the one he persecuted, the one he sought to wipe out his name. Lord! Jesus Christ became his Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Those were his words. And the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul gives us this testimony of his experience of salvation. He says this in 1 Timothy 1, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So who is this man, Apostle Paul? Who is this Paul who went to Corinth? Here is a man who experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His life was changed. His soul was saved. He became a child of God. It was real. You see, a real church is being started at Corinth. And how could a real church get started? How does a real church get started? It gets started when a preacher who has experienced the gospel goes with the gospel. That's how a church starts. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The preacher who's experienced the power of the gospel. The Apostle Paul had experienced the power of the gospel, a changed life, a new birth. You know, you think of one of the most famous preachers of history. There's many. But one of the most famous preachers of history is a preacher by the name of John Wesley. Now, John Wesley was an Anglican priest. And John Wesley came to America as a missionary, hoping that by good works he might somehow earn his salvation. He left America disappointed because He didn't find any rest in his soul by his good works and his mission work. On his way home, there's a great storm on the sea. And on the ship, there are a bunch of Moravian believers. And John Wesley, even though an Anglican priest and trying to earn his way to heaven through good works and righteous living, was terribly terrified of dying in that storm. Because he was not, did not have the assurance of his salvation. In fact, he was on his way to hell. And the Moravians on this ship were born again believers, and they were had real peace, and they weren't afraid of what would happen, because their eternity was settled. Well, how that struck John Wesley's heart. It was a number of years later that John Wesley, still struggling to find out how to be saved, went to a Moravian chapel and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there, as an Anglican priest, he put his faith in Jesus Christ and was born again. And you know, John Wesley started preaching, "You must be born again." Started preaching it in the Anglican churches, and they kicked him out. They didn't want that kind of preaching. And that you could really know you're saved, really know your life is a child of God, and you have your sins forgiven. They didn't want that kind of preaching. And so he went out into the hillsides. And the poor, who couldn't afford to buy a pew or rent a pew in the church, were ready to hear the truth. And John Wesley would preach to thousands on the hillsides. He didn't know what he would preach. John 3:3, "You must be born again." Hundreds and thousands of poverty-stricken workers trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And revival began to spread over the great land of Great Britain. You know why? Because there was a preacher who had experienced the new birth. Apostle Paul, he was a preacher who had experienced the new birth. And so the church at Corinth was started because there was a preacher who had experienced the new birth. You see, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so what did the Apostle Paul, what is a church? A church, it starts with a preacher who's been saved, who's been born again, whose life's been changed, and now he preaches the gospel. And what happens? What happens? A church is about preaching the gospel. Preaching, "You must be born again." Preaching that Jesus Christ did die, that he rose again, and that it's real. And those who trust him will be forgiven of their sins. Immediately at that moment, they'll be justified. They'll have peace with God. They'll get a new heart. They'll get a new life. Christ will live in them through the Holy Spirit. And so he preached. And then, obviously, there are those who believed. There are those who believed and experienced that same power of the gospel. And the Bible tells us about the church at Corinth. Very simple. It says that many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and they were baptized. Now, it was such a dramatic change in their life that they were unashamed to identify themselves as Bible believers by a biblical immersion. But you know, what about this church at Corinth? What does the Bible tell us about this church and the effect of the gospel upon their lives? I like to think of it, what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says this very plain statement. It says, "Knowing not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then it says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Out of this list of sinners, out of this list of horrible sins that dominated people's lives and kept them in captivity, there was someone who delivered them from these powerful, addicting, overwhelming sins. It was Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so this church at Corinth was full of people who were horrible sinners. But they heard the gospel of God, that is the power of God unto salvation, and their lives were changed. Wow. And of course, the Lord, Apostle Paul reminds them, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are of God. Wow, isn't that great? That's what happens when you get saved. You become a new creature. And you know what? You don't have any part-time religion anymore either. The Bible says when you get saved, all things are of God. You know, it's amazing that newfangled Christianity today, you know, it's a little dab a do you kind of Christianity. No way. Bible Christianity is the power of God. It affects every area of a person's life. Every area of their life. Now, so You got the gospel. Christ died on the cross. He rose from again from the dead to pay for man's sin, to redeem them from their sin, to bring them from being at enmity with God to be in fellowship with God. Man's born a sinner in Adam, and they need to have a new heart. Christ died, rose again from the dead by those who believe in Him by faith. The moment they put their faith in Christ, they're born again. They experience the power of God. The Apostle Paul experienced the power of the gospel. Went to Corinth, started the church, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. People believed, and guess what? People experienced the gospel. They were saved. They're born again. They became new creatures in Christ. Wow. That's what the church is. It's about the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Now, what happens? These people who have experienced the power of the gospel. What do they do? What do they do? They now commit their lives to proclaim that gospel to the rest of the world. Now they commit their lives to commit that gospel to the ends of the world. So what happens? People at Corinth, they got saved. And what do? They join together as believers in the church at Corinth. Well, how do you know? Well, because there's a whole book written about it. There was a church at Corinth. There were a group of people who were saved, whose lives were changed. And now they joined together to spread that gospel throughout their community and to the ends of the world. Matthew chapter 28. Notice what it says. Jesus gives the Great Commission. In verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And of course, we know that word teach is the word disciple. It's the idea of you have to go and give them the gospel. And they need to be saved. And then, as believers, they need to come to the place where they commit themselves to be followers of Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know what Jesus said. He says, if you're not willing to forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciples. He said, go into all the world, go therefore and teach. That word is the word disciple. And then what do you do with these disciples? He says, then those who commit themselves to follow Jesus Christ, commit themselves to the gospel. He says, now you baptize them by immersion. And then it says, you teach them to observe. That means obey all things. Not some things. Not part of the Bible. Not the part of the Bible they like. But all the Bible. Amen? I tell you what. Which of the commandments of Jesus aren't important? You ever think about that? We got this heresy going out there that says, oh, a unity in essentials and love in non-essentials. Where'd you get that from? Not the Bible. He says, teach them to observe all things. And that all things is what a church is. A people observing all things. A people committed to Jesus Christ. A people surrendered to God's plan. A people growing. A people selflessly serving. A people willing to go anywhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a church. That's a church. A people giving their life to proclaim the Great Commission to the rest of the world. You see, the gospel is the center. The power of the gospel. The gospel and the power of the gospel is the center of a church. It's the center of a New Testament church. I wonder, have you been touched, changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you merely an intellectual Christian? You know the facts. Maybe you're one of those, what we'd call a little prayer Christian. I prayed a prayer, but my life's never changed. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's real. It's powerful. That's the center of a New Testament church. You know, a lot of things go on in a church. But there's only one thing that lasts. There's only one thing that lasts. There's lots of activity and there's a lot of professions of people and this and that. But there's only one thing that lasts. Those who have genuinely believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and experienced the power of the gospel. A new life. A new heart. A real living relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of that verse in the Bible where the disciples, Peter and John, were told, you're causing trouble. We don't want you preaching about Jesus Christ, that He's the Lord, that He's the Son of God, that He's the Savior, that He rose from the dead. We want you to stop this. And they said, says, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you'd be the judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You see, that's the power of the gospel. We cannot but speak. You know, I remember when I got saved, there were people who said to me, Ron, why don't you just forget about this? Why don't you just forget about this? And I don't know what I said, but I know what I said in my heart. How can I? How can you? It's the greatest thing in all the world. It's real. Everybody needs to know about this. You see, that's what a church is about. It's not a social club. It's not a big fun time. It's about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of changed life. I remember there's a man in town here, pretty well known. I met him in City Hall. And he said, Ron, you know, he was going to give me some good advice, you know. He says, Ron, you know, you don't have to live such a straight and narrow life. I looked at him. I said, you know, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand at all. You know, when a person gets saved and they learn the Bible, they want to live a straight and narrow life. They like living that way. They enjoy it. The apostles said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Yes, you know what our world needs? Our world needs just another dose of genuine, converted, born again believers. Saved by the grace of God, with a new heart, a new life. Overwhelmed by the love of God and the mercy of God and the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it is an amazing thing. Isn't it an amazing thing? Here we have Brother Al Griffin. Comes here today. Up here. I remember the day. Actually, Al, you were sitting right over there. And he comes up the aisle, says, I want to be saved. And right there in front of the whole church, him and I share with him what he already knew about Christ died on the cross for his sins, that he was a sinner, he deserved to go to hell, and that if he would trust Christ as his Lord and Savior and call upon him to be his Lord and Savior, he could be saved right there. He called upon the Lord. You know what? He called on the Lord right there. And his life was forever changed. Right there. Oh man, there's trials and there's struggles, and he had to learn how to obey. And he had to learn to have the right kind of friends. And he had to learn to say no to the scorners and to the scoffers. And he had to learn to just do what was right. But you know what? It's real. Amen, Brother Al? Amen. Greatest thing in all the world. You can't explain it, can you? You can't explain it. But it's wonderful. I wonder today, have you experienced the wonder, the power, the love of God, the power of the gospel? Do you just know about it? Or have you experienced it? Have you heard about it? Or maybe you said, boy, that sounds strange. Well, then I guarantee you don't know what I'm talking about. You have religion, maybe, and faith in God, but you don't know the real thing. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Wow, isn't that great? And you know, it's still as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. And it's the greatest thing in life to give your life to. Spreading that wonderful gospel. The greatest thing you ever have, will ever experience in your life is being able to see another person that you told about Jesus Christ get saved and live for God. You'll never experience anything greater in life than to be able to see and observe the power of God in other people's lives. But you have to observe it first yourself. You have to experience it yourself. Now, if you know what I'm saying, you know it's true. On the other hand, maybe you know what I'm saying, but the fact is, you've drifted from the power of God. You've drifted from the power of God. The world and the lust of this world have robbed your soul of its purpose, of its focus. And you are living for temporal things that will never satisfy. Will never satisfy. Will only bring regret at the day of judgment. And today, God is reminding you that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we need to be living for. That's the only thing worth living for. Now, if you're here today, you know, right there in that pew, you could call upon Jesus Christ. Right there in that pew, you could trust Christ. You could repent of going your own way, doing your own thing, having your own ideas, having your own religion, going by your own religion. And you could come to Jesus Christ personally today as a lost sinner. Finally, empty of yourself and of your pride and of your own ideas, and coming as a lost sinner to Jesus Christ, the one who died for you. And you could call upon Him today and trust all your sin to Him and your life to Him. And right today, you could be born into the family of God. I invite you to do that. You're the only one that can do it. And you know, the fact is, your old wicked heart, you know, it's going to fight it. And the devil's going to fight it. But the smartest thing you could ever do in your life, and the best thing, is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in Him once and for all right here today. And then you'll know that what I've been saying is the absolute truth. But it only will happen if you will put your faith in Christ. And today you can be born into the family of God. And then you'll know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that it is real. I thank you that, Lord, it is wonderful of that moment, experiencing the love of God and the complete forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is, Lord, when you come to live in our life through the Holy Spirit and give us a new heart. It's so unexplainable, but it's so wonderfully real. It is the power of God. And then, Lord, the wonder of how you change our lives and continue to change our lives. And the victory over our over sin and over the world through the Lord Jesus, what a great precious miracle that is. Now, Lord, today, I first of all pray that you'd, at this moment, help us to do business with you, to be serious, not to avoid it, not to try to get rid of the guilt or the conviction, but to look you straight in the eyes, Lord. Our heads are bowed and you're here today. You say, you know, today I realize that I'm a sinner and I'm lost because of my sin. All my good works can't erase one sin. All the religion in the world can't get me one step closer to heaven. The only person is Jesus. And I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I understand enough today that I'm a sinner and only Jesus can save me. And I'm ready to turn from going my own way. And I'm ready to trust Christ with my soul and my sin and my life. And you say, Pastor Evers, pray for me right here today. I need to trust Christ. Or maybe right here today, you could raise your hand and say, I've trusted Jesus Christ right here this morning as my Savior. I put my faith in Him. And right now, I know that I have been born again. And you say, Pastor, just pray for me. God has spoken my heart today about my soul salvation. And I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I have not yet done that. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today, would you just lift up your hand wherever you might be? Okay. All right. Praise God for that hand. Anyone else? Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I'm a Christian. I can remember that I did trust Christ, but I've drifted far from the power of God. I've been getting close to the world. My heart is cold. And I'm not consumed with a desire to live a holy, godly life and a desire to win as many people to Christ as I could. And God has spoken in my heart today. Today I'm turning from going my own way. And I'm going to turn back to giving myself 100% to Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken in my heart. That's my decision. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for those who have raised their hand. How about you? Maybe put those hands down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, God bless you. Amen. Now thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts. Thank you that, Lord, that you call us to make clear, decisive decisions. No hemming and hawing, no hesitating. And thank you, Lord, for those today that indicate their need to make that most important decision. Others who've made a very important decision for you. May it be, Lord, blessed of Thee. Help them be decisive. Help them to be, Lord, just genuine in their turning to You. And many others who yet need to make that decision to accept Christ or to live for Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.